glad you're with us today. We have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. We commend you for your interest in the truth, which brings us together. The Lord said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Appreciate the good reading this morning that sets the stage for our study together. As I've come to talk to you about the topic, the high places. Within the 39 books that make up your Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, you'll come across the high place, or the high places, 119 times. And most of those references are during the period of the divided kingdom, within the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, when a summary statement was made about the nature of a king's reign, often reference would be made to the high places. That was true of Jehoash or Joash, about whom we read this past week and about whom we studied even this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 12 and in verses 2 and 3, it is reported that Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, or in Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. The high places comes from a word meaning elevation. And so the high place, or the high places, was an elevated place like a hill or a mountain. And it was a place where worship was offered either to the one true God or to idols. And when I began to make a study of the high places, I found where it's called an eminent place in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16 and in verse 24. And so throughout the history of the Old Testament, you find eminent places, you find high places where folks would either worship the Lord or worship idols. And there's some things I want to call to our attention about the high places. The first thing that occurred to me when I began to make my study of the high places is the fact that the Lord was often worshipped in high places. As early as the period after the flood, we find people worshiping the Lord in high places. Come back with me to the book of Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 8 and in verse 4, where we find the ark resting upon the mountains of Ararat. And according to verse 18, Noah went forth, and in verse 20, built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And so we find Noah worshiping the Lord in a high place, upon the mountain of Ararat. From there we turn to Genesis chapter 12, and in verse 8, where we find the patriarch Abram worshiping the Lord in a high place. The Bible says he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, where he pitched his tent, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Not only do we find this man of God worshiping the Lord in this high place, but also in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, we find where the Lord instructed him in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. According to verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. In verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Not only did Noah and Abram worship the Lord in a high place, but so did Jacob, whose name would be changed to Israel. In the book of Genesis chapter 31, we find where Jacob is fleeing from Laban, and Laban pursues Jacob and overtakes him in the Mount of Gilead, Genesis 31 and in verse 25. They make a covenant or an agreement together according to verse 44. And in Genesis 31 and verse 54, Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. And so Jacob is found worshiping the Lord upon Mount Gilead, a high place. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 19, the people have entered a different period of Old Testament history. They've gone out of Egyptian bondage and they're headed toward the promised land. In chapter 19 and verse 1, they came into the wilderness of Sinai and the setting finds them camped before the mount. In Exodus 19 and verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And so you find Moses at the top of Mount Sinai where the Lord spake to him. And in speaking to Moses, notice in chapter 20 and in verse 23, he was told, "Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I'll come unto thee, and I will bless thee." And then he talked about an altar of stone in verse 25 and 26. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 9 and 10, in the days of Samuel, there was a place of sacrifice known as the high place. You may recall from your reading and your study of that period how that in 1 Samuel, chapter 9 and verse 12, it was said there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And then in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 3, as we're impressed with the fact that people worship the Lord in high places, we learn that before the house of the Lord was built, people sacrificed in high places. And Gibeon is identified as the great high place. 1 Kings 3:2, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And in verse 4, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. So what have we learned thus far? We've learned that the people in Old Testament times were often found worshiping the Lord in a high place. But the second thing that I want to bring to your attention is the fact that we also read of idols being served in high places. And the first reference that I found along that line is in during the time of the wilderness wandering period, back in the book of Numbers in chapter 22. And if you remember Numbers chapter 22, you may recall how that Balak, king of Moab, took Balaam, and the Bible says in Numbers 22 and verse 41, brought him up into the high places of Baal. You might underscore in Numbers 22:41, the high places of Baal. And so there were high places, there were elevated places that were devoted to the worship of Baal, a false god. And according to chapter 23 and in verse 3, he went to an high place. In verse 14, it mentions the top of Pisgah. And again in verse 28, brought Balaam under the top of Peor. And so you find reference made in Numbers 22 and 23 to high places where the people worshipped Baal. And according to chapter 25, verses 1 through 3, the people of Israel began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Of course, this was under the influence of Balaam. In fact, in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 14, reference was made to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And so as early as Numbers 22, you find examples of people worshiping idols, false gods, in high places. And the Lord gave instruction to His people along those lines as to when they would enter the land of promise, the land of Canaan. In Numbers chapter 33 and in verse 50, you find in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, where Moses was instructed to tell the children of Israel, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. You might underscore what they were to do. In verse 52, they were to drive out, they were to destroy, and they were to pluck down. And when he talks about their high places, he talked about plucking down all their high places. And so all of these elevated places of worship that were devoted to these idols of these heathen people, they were to pluck them down, they were to utterly destroy them. Now come over with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, where we have further preparatory teaching. In verse 2, he said, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. And so we've learned that idols were served in high places. And when the Lord's people would enter the land of Canaan, they were to destroy those high places and everything associated with idolatrous worship. Now, the next thing I want us to learn and appreciate is the fact that the Lord, God Almighty, had His own high place. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, notice how he continues in verse 4. He says, ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. That is, when you come into the land, you're not to worship the Lord after the manner of these heathen people. You're not to serve the Lord in these high places. He says in verse 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And so in the land they wouldn't be free to worship just any place or just any high place, but God would have a place that He would choose to put His name. You might underscore that in verse 5. And he says in verse 6, thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings. That is, this God-chosen place, bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, heave offerings of your hand, your vows, your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there, that is, in this God-chosen place, ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And so there's coming a time when the worship is going to change. You're not going to worship just anywhere you please. You're going to worship in the place that God chooses. He says in verse 9, you're not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth thee. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when He giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Now watch this statement. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So underscore in verse 11, there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. And so God would have a place of worship, wouldn't He? He'd have a high place. Now what is that place? Well, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. We'll learn more about that. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 5, He said, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name in, even there, thou shalt sacrifice the Passover. And so you underscore in verse 6, at the place God shall choose to place His name in. And so there was a place of worship. God pointed out where they were to worship. But He also, in this same context, talked about how they were to worship, how they were to come to this place of worship. The Bible says in verse 11, thou shalt rejoice It's like the attitude of the psalmist. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why did he say that? Because that's how they were taught to worship. They were taught to rejoice. They were to have a spirit of joy. They would come rejoicing, and that's the way we ought to come to worship. Rejoicing before the Lord, thou and thy son and thy daughter. But not only were they told where to worship and how to worship, they were told what to do in worship. In verse 16, three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord, not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. That's what they were to do. And he told them what not to do in their worship. In verse 21, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. And so God has a high place where his people are going to worship. He told them where to worship. He told them how to worship, what to do in their worship, and what not to do in their worship. Now we learn that place when we come to the period of the divided kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 11 and in verse 36. Reference is made to Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen me to put my name there. You ought to underscore that in your Bible. Jerusalem, I have chosen. And so God chose Jerusalem as the place. And you might put that reference out beside Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 16. That'll help you remember that Jerusalem was the God-chosen place. And this was the high place. This was referred to in Zechariah 8 and in verse 3 as the mountain of the Lord. When you find people going to Jerusalem, the Bible often talks about going up to Jerusalem. Whether they came from the north or from the south or from the east or from the west, they'd go up to Jerusalem because it was situated in a mountain. That's where the Lord's house was built. 1 Kings chapter 5 through 7 talks about Solomon, who was minded or determined to build the house of the Lord. As well, that's where the altar was made in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 48. That's where the tabernacle was brought, 1 Kings 8 and in verse 1. And so God had his high place of worship, and that was in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the Lord's house, the church, was to be established. In the book of Zechariah chapter 1 and in verse 16, the Lord said, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it. And then Isaiah 2, 2 through 3, and you have the same prophecy verbatim or word for word in Micah chapter 4. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. And he talked about the establishment place in verse 4. He said, the word of the Lord shall come forth from Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem, the high place where the temple was built, where the altar was, where the tabernacle was, would be the place where the church of the Lord, the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:15, would be established. And of course we read about that in Acts chapter 2. We've got the right place, Jerusalem, the right people, all nations, and the right period, the last days when the church was established and the Lord was said to have added to it in Acts 2 and in verse 47. And so we've learned that the Lord was worshipped in high places. Idols were served in high places. But before the temple was built, people would often worship the Lord in different places. But when they entered the land, when they were in the promised land, God had his chosen place where he recorded his name, and that was Jerusalem, and that's where they were to worship. But the next thing I want us to learn and appreciate is the fact that there were others who came along and built high places. There were those who built places of worship other than God's appointed place of Jerusalem. And that's the history of the period of the divided kingdom. The first one along those lines is old Solomon. You remember Solomon, during the latter part of the United Kingdom, was said to have his heart turned away by his wives. His downfall was brought about in 1 Kings 11:1 when he loved many strange women. And the Bible says he clave unto these in love. And in verse 3, his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart, what about his heart, was not perfect with the Lord his God. And verse 5 says, he went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father.
Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And so Solomon builds other places of worship for these gods. And notice that that's associated with a heart that is not perfect with the Lord. That's associated with one who does not fully follow after the Lord. I'd underscore that in verse 4 and again in verse 6. Whenever men and women built places of worship other than Jerusalem, and they went and worshiped in high places other than God's chosen place, or they involved themselves in the worship of idols, their heart was not perfect with the Lord. They did not follow fully after the Lord. But again, we find another man building high places, and that is Jeroboam. Notice in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 12 and in verse 28. You know, his concern was that if the people went to Jerusalem to worship, that their hearts would turn to Rehoboam. And so he took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And verse 31 says, "He made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And he ordained a feast, which he devised of his own heart. And you find him offering upon the altar and burning incense." And so here's a man that's come along and he's tried to convince the people, it's too much for you to go to God's chosen place. It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. But he wasn't so much concerned about the people as he was concerned about himself. He was fearful that the kingdom would turn to Rehoboam. And so he tried to persuade the people that instead of going to Jerusalem, you go to another high place. You can go to Dan or you can go to Bethel. And he mixed idolatrous worship with the worship of God. He introduced calf worship. He set one in Bethel and Dan. And the Bible says the thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. What was the sin? Well, one of the sins that was involved was going to the wrong place. Instead of going to Jerusalem, they went to another place. But not only do we read of Solomon and Jeroboam making other places, we find Ahab doing the same thing. You remember his father? Ahab's father? We read about him in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 16 and how that Omri, in verses 23 and 24, bought the hill of Samaria and he named it after the name of the owner of the hill. You might make a note of the fact that Samaria was a hill. It was an elevated place. And it became a high place for Baal, didn't it? When his son Ahab ascends to the throne, the Bible says that he took to wife Jezebel in verse 31 and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now watch this statement. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. What's he done? He's made Samaria, the hill of Samaria, a high place, hasn't he, for the worship of Baal. And the Bible says in verse 33, he made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Not only did Ahab make another high place, but Jehoram did as well. Turn with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 21. In 2 Chronicles 21 and in verse 11, the Bible says he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. That's the evil reign of Jehoram, king of Judah. Not only did Jehoram make high places, but Ahaz did too. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 28. In 2 Chronicles 28 and in verse 23, the Bible says that he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. That's the Syrians. And he said, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me." He had the idea that if I'll worship the gods of the Syrians, then they're going to help me. But the Bible says they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem and in every several city of Judah. What did he make? He made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. What's he done? He set aside the God-chosen place. He set aside the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob that brought his people out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. And he substituted the Syrian gods for the one true God. And in every city of Judah, he's made a high place to sacrifice and to worship those which are no gods. He's not the only one. In the book of 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 3, Manasseh is going to do the same thing. The Bible will say of him, he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down and reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Here's a man whose father had removed the high places, and then his son comes along and he builds again those high places. Judah made high places back in the book of 1 Kings chapter 14 and in verse 23. Look at this commentary on the people of God in Judah. The Bible says they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Can you picture that? Can you picture on every high hill and under every green tree a place of worship? What's wrong with that? God said in Jerusalem, you shall worship. Not to worship any other place. And the kingdom of Israel did the same thing. When you turn over to 2 Kings chapter 17, this became the ruin, the end of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 17, notice beginning in verse 9, the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fence city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. And they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and Judah by all the prophets and the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenants, which he had made with their fathers, his testimonies, which he had testified against them. They followed vanity, became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 78:58, the psalmist would look back over this period and he would make this comment, they provoked the Lord to anger with their high places. And so we find people just after the flood worshiping the Lord in high places. We find other people worshiping idols in high places. God said Jerusalem will be the high place where you're to come worship. But we find other people building other high places than Jerusalem. Now, number five. I want us to appreciate the fact that there were some of those kings who came on the scene during the time of the divided kingdom and took away the high places. Remember, God said Jerusalem's the high place. There were others that came along and built other places. But we had some men who came and they took away the high places. Remember, there's going to be a difference. In the commentary, in the narrative, the summary statement of the kings, either they took away the high places or they didn't. Some of them did that partially. Some of them took away some of the high places. Well, there were those that would take away the high places that were associated with idolatry, but they didn't take away all the high places. There may have been other places other than Jerusalem where folks were trying to worship the Lord, and so they weren't complete in taking away the high places. But there are two in particular that I want to call to your attention who were said to have taken away the high places. And they utterly took away the high places, like the Lord said. The first is King Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4, the Bible says, "He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." That just means a piece of brass. You remember back to the scene in Numbers when they were complaining and the Lord sent the fiery serpents among the people, bit the people, much of the people died, and Moses was instructed to take a pole and put upon it a serpent of brass, and those that would look to it would live. Well, they kept that thing around, and they made an idol out of it. They were worshiping this thing, and Hezekiah called it Nehushtan. He says, just a piece of brass. It wasn't an object of worship. It had served its purpose, and it needed to be taken down. He broke it in pieces. And the Bible says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Now, in connection with that, in 2 Chronicles 31, in verse 1, is situated during the reign of good Hezekiah of Judah. That was read in our hearing just a little bit ago. How that in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 1, all Israel went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim also and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. And in chapter 32 and verse 12, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, said to the people, "Hath not Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it?" And so you have people who are trying to worship upon different altars. But the Lord had one altar. Remember, that altar was in Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was successful in getting the people to worship the Lord before one altar. And notice what is said of him. It is said in 2 Kings 18 and verse 6 that he clave to the Lord. He departed not from following him, but kept his commandments. You see a difference between him and Solomon? You remember what was said of Solomon? His heart was not perfect with the Lord. He didn't follow fully after the Lord. And so when you find people in high places, what do you find? You find people whose hearts are not fully after the Lord. You find people who are not perfect with the Lord. But when you find folks who respect the Lord's place and they're taking away these high places, they're destroying these other places, you see that associated with faithfulness to the Lord, with cleaving to the Lord, with not departing from following Him and keeping His commandments. And so high places other than the Lord's place and faithfulness do not go together. If we're faithful to the Lord, we're going to remove and destroy those high places, just like Hezekiah. But Josiah did the same. Remember, after Hezekiah, Manasseh came along and he built those high places again that his father worked so hard to destroy. Isn't that sad? Here's a man that removed the high places, restored the people to the proper place, and his son comes along and builds those high places. And Josiah, who was 8 years old when he began to reign, did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And when he was about 20 years of age, notice the Bible says in 2 Kings 23 and in verse 3 that he stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And the people stood to the covenant. That is, they entered an agreement that they were going to keep the commandments of the Lord and they were going to serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. And in connection with that, they removed the high places. From verse 4 on down through verse 20. You read about that. And if you'll turn over to 2 Chronicles 34, verses 3 through 5, you'll have a summary of that. Just a few verses that give you that whole section in a nutshell. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them. He cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. He brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And you remember back in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, when the man of God prophesied against the altar of Jeroboam, remember his high place? And he was sacrificing upon the altar, and the withered hand, and how the sign was given. Remember that? And it was prophesied that there'd be one Josiah by name that would burn the bones of the priest upon the altar. That's what's happening. He did that. 2 Chronicles 34 and in verse 5. And that just goes right along with what the Lord had warned his people generations before in the blessing and curses section of Leviticus 26. In Leviticus 26, 30, he said, I'll destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Now notice what's associated with Josiah, one who removed the high places. The Bible talks about the fact that they walked after the Lord, kept his commandments, and they did that with all their heart and with all their soul. When you serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, there's no room for high places. You'll not have high places. See that? Whenever they had these other places, they didn't follow the Lord fully. They didn't serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. In the remainder of our time, I want to talk about some present day applications. I believe that the value of these old stories is when we make application. These things are written for our learning in Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4. God has always had His place. His high place in the Old Testament was the place of Jerusalem. Right? That was the place where they were to worship. Now God has His place of worship today. Right? And that is in the church. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11 and in verse 18, that we come together in the church. And in verse 20, he talked about coming together in one place. And Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That command to assemble necessitates a place, doesn't it? And wherever the brethren in a specific location agree this is going to be the place where we're going to assemble for the purpose of worshiping God, that becomes the place of worship, right? And so there is, in a sense, in which that may be referred to as the high place. If I were to say to you, I'll see you this afternoon at the high place, would you know what I was talking about? Would you know where that is? That's the place of worship, isn't it? There's a sense in which this is the high place, and that this is the place where we come together as the Lord's people to worship God, right? Now, if I willfully absent myself from this time of assembling together and I'm some other place, I want to suggest to you that that's my high place, whatever that is, wherever that may be. And we have a difficult time with people in the Old Testament assembling at the right place. They weren't in Jerusalem. They were in other places. And we have that same problem today, don't we? You know, this is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has set aside for His people to come together to worship. And we come together in the church. And yet there are those who set that aside. They show contempt for that and disrespect for that. And they may be in other places. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to take my time today and I'm going to go out to the lake. And I'm going to try to just get close to God on the lake. Well, that's your high place if that's the case. We've been called together in the church. That's where we come together to worship. Or you say, I'm going to stay at home today. Well, if you've made that deliberate choice, then that's your high place. Wherever it is that you find yourself on the Lord's day,
At the time when the Lord's people come together, when you have the ability to attend, to assemble, but you deliberately or willfully choose to be somewhere else, I kindly submit to you that that's your high place. That's a place other than the place the Lord has called us together to worship in the church. And we need to respect that place. There are those who may try to worship elsewhere. And let me suggest to you that another application along that line is denominationalism. In that there are folks today who are trying to worship God in other places than the Lord's body, the Lord's church. And they're doing that all for naught. It's in vain. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Now, at the time of the New Testament, Paul said there is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and it's still true there's one body. But today there are hundreds and hundreds of different religious bodies wearing different names. They teach different doctrines. They're organized different ways. They engage in different works and worships. And you've got people that are trying to worship God through these other man-made denominations. And I suggest to you that that's the equivalent of trying to worship God in a different high place. And you've got some today who are trying to bring in things from the high places. Just as you had the problem in the Old Testament with people bringing into the Lord's house those things out of the idolatrous high places. You had groves being brought into the Lord's house, as we'll see in our study of this period of history. We've got people today that are taking things from denominations and trying to bring them into the church. Right? You take, for example, there are those who begin to think of men more highly than they ought to think. In the denominational world, they'll put the preacher upon a pedestal. They'll call him Reverend. And they'll call him Holy Father. And have various pedestals upon which they put men. And Paul said, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. Or there are those who will bring in instrumental music from denominationalism, which is a relic of Rome, as the Roman Catholic Church introduced it, and the denominational world has borrowed it, and some of our brethren have introduced it. What are they doing? They're bringing in the grove out of the high place and into the Lord's house. And you've got gymnasiums and entertainment centers and recreational centers and family life centers that have been added on. And kitchens and fellowship halls. We have a fellowship hall. We're in it right now. We have fellowship one with another when we walk in the light. 1 John 1 and then verse 7. And the list goes on of things that have been brought in from the high places. You take a ball team. You've got denominational churches that have added on a facility for sports. What are they doing? They're bringing in things from the high places. I would suggest to us that anything that would lead us away from God would be our high place, whatever that is. Whatever it is that would cause us to not follow the Lord fully, whatever it is that would keep us from having a heart that is perfect, whatever it is that would cause us to depart from walking in the commandments of God, that's our high place. And there are a lot of things that are luring people away from absolute devotion and commitment to the Lord. A lot of things. And what we need to be able to do is to identify these high places. What's the high place in your heart or in your life? What is it that's keeping you from being faithful and loyal to God? What is it? Could it be sports? You know, sports has become a high place for a lot of people. Right? It used to be that was not what it is today. Now, there are some things that in and of themselves may be okay. Not wrong in and of themselves, right? That was true of these places. That was true of these elevations. There wasn't anything wrong in and of itself about a hill. There wasn't anything wrong in and of itself of a mountain, right? Of this elevated place. But it was the use that was made of it. Or the abuse, we might say, of it. And that's true of things today. There may be things that are not wrong in and of themselves, but they become wrong because of the use that's made of them, right? And there's nothing wrong in and of itself with playing some sports. Now, there may be some sports that would be wrong because of things associated with it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a sport that may be in and of itself okay, maybe wholesome. Nothing wrong with throwing a football, right? Nothing wrong in and of itself with playing baseball, but it could become wrong, couldn't it? That could become a high place
if sports would lead us away from the Lord, right? You know, today is the Lord's Day, but not everybody looks at it that way. There are those who look at this as race day. This is game day, right? And there are those who sometimes will be involved themselves in sports and they've been lured away from the Lord. They're not wholly following the Lord. That's become their high place. Don't let sports become a high place. Don't let it take you away from the Lord. Or it may be that your job is your high place. Nothing wrong in and of itself working with your hands. It's a good thing to work with your hands, a thing which is good. The Bible teaches that. But did you know that your job could become your high place? And that you're so committed to your job and you're so tied up with your job that it lures you away from the Lord, it takes you away from the Lord. You're not following fully after the Lord. That's become your high place. Or it might be your family. Nothing in and of itself wrong about your family. We're to love our family. But you know, our family could become our high place. We begin to love our father or mother or our son or daughter more than the Lord, then that becomes our high place, doesn't it? It's taken us away from following fully after the Lord. And those may be secret things. Right? Remember 2 Kings 17 and verse 9, the people did secretly. And so there may be some high places in your heart that are secret. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. And we need to identify within our own hearts and our own lives whatever those secret things may be that are keeping us from following the Lord fully. That would cause us to depart from serving the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your high place is whatever would come before you and the Lord and His church. And that could be any number of things, couldn't it? And John said in 1 John 5 and in verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. Now somebody might say, now I wouldn't go over. If I'd been living back then, I would have been in Jerusalem. I wouldn't have gone to these other places. And if I had been living back then, I wouldn't have worshipped a calf. I wouldn't have had a piece of wood that I'd carved. I wouldn't have a grove. I wouldn't have brought that into the Lord's house. I wouldn't have done that. No, I wouldn't bow down before that man-made idol. But you know, we have high places today. And we have idols today. Oh, they may not be those things like they had, but we've got them. The things that we've talked about. Anything that would stand between us and faithfulness to the Lord. Anything that would cause us to not follow fully after the Lord. That's become our idol. That's our high place. And John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. In 2 Chronicles 31 and in verse 1, may it be said of us as it was said of those during the time of Hezekiah, that they threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and in Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. There's no room in our hearts for God and for high places other than the place which He has chosen to put His name. And that's in the church, isn't it? And so I hope as you think about the high places that each one of us will make the application to ourselves. It was interesting to me when we studied this period of all the references to the high places, and it aroused my curiosity to try to search and to find out just what exactly the Bible has to say about the high places and try to help us in making application of those things to ourselves. What a great privilege it would have been in the Old Testament to be the people of God. You think about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love toward His people. He brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, caused them to cross over the sea and into the promised land. A land that floweth with milk and honey, blessed in every way. And He called upon them to come together in Jerusalem to worship Him in His high place. And yet they didn't do that. They didn't respect Him. They disregarded Him. And they had other places. And they involved themselves in the idolatrous practices of the heathen about them.
until God removed them out of the land as they were carried away into captivity. Some men who respected God and respected His word and followed Him fully and were instrumental in removing the high places. And may you and I do the same. May we recognize what a great privilege it is to be a child of God today, to be the people of God, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter 2. Those in Christ who have been baptized into Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God's grace and mercy has brought us out of the bondage of sin. And as we pass through the sea, if you will, baptized into Christ, we become the recipient of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And heaven is our Canaan land. That's what we're working toward. That's what we're going toward. And unfortunately, there are those who have disrespected God, laid aside His word, not respected His day or His place. They've got other places. They've got things that have come between them and the Lord. And as they were removed from their place, it'll cause us to lose our home in heaven. It's that serious. And we need to be like Hezekiah. We need to be like Josiah. We need to identify what these places are. And we need to get rid of them. We need to destroy them. We need to break them down. And may God give us the courage and the conviction to do that. So that what's said of Josiah and said of Hezekiah will be said of each one of us. That he clave to the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He followed the Lord fully. Maybe you're in this audience and you've not yet become a child of God. Everything's been made ready that you might be His child. Would you come humbly, submitting to His will, believing on His word, which you've heard, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized? Maybe as a child of God, you've not been following the Lord fully. Maybe you've got some other high places. Maybe there's some secret things. You need to work that out, whatever it is. Whatever it is that's keeping us from being what we ought to be. Let's identify it and let's destroy it so that we can be what God would have us to be and so that we can be granted entrance into that Canaan land where there is no sorrow, there is no pain, there is no tears because the former things are passed away and God is not ashamed to be called their God. Where we can drink of the water of life and enjoy eternity with God our Father, Christ His Son, the Holy Spirit and all the saints, the faithful of all the ages. There's sin in your life that needs to be corrected.